live from Capitol Hill, it's the Jordan Sekulow Show. To get your question on the air, tweet Jordan at twitter.com/JordanSekulow. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Hello and welcome to the first inaugural edition of the Jordan Sekulow Show, the new broadcast brought to you by the American Center for Law and Justice. Today on our first broadcast, Governor Mitt Romney, leading the polls in the 2012 presidential Republican primary, will be joining us in just a few moments on the broadcast on the Jordan Sekulow Show. Now, let me explain a couple of things that are different about this show and explain some things about me that you may not know from my work with the American Center for Law and Justice and on JSekulow Live before. First, my background a little bit. Why is Jordan now talking more about politics and have his own show? Before going to law school, before working at the American Center for Law and Justice, I was actually a political operative. I worked for the Georgia Republican Party right after I finished George Washington University. I went down there for a monumental 2002 campaign. Then, right from the Georgia Republican Party, I was the youth outreach director nationally for the Bush-Cheney 2004 reelection campaign, so got to serve President Bush and Vice President Cheney in their reelection. Right after that, went to another campaign in Georgia, then decided to go to law school and bypass the 2008 election cycle. Well, while I was just beginning my first semester at Regent University School of Law, I got a call from Governor Romney's campaign. So I was also a consultant while I was in law school for Romney for President in 2008, and then completed law school, moved back to Washington, D.C. Of course, you've heard me on JSekulow Live and seen some of the media we've done and the legal issues we talk about. While I was doing all of the full-time work and then back at the ACLJ in Washington, I actually completed an LLM, a Master of Laws at Georgetown University School of Law in International Law. So as you know, I direct the ACLJ's policy and I write a lot of op-eds and I'm a contributor to the Washington Post and have my own blog called Religious Right Now at their On Faith section. I also, of course, oversee our international offices around the world, and we're going to be talking about that more on the Jordan Sekulow Show as well. For instance, our offices in Pakistan, throughout Africa, throughout Asia, in the Middle East, of course, in Europe as well, in Eastern Europe too. So I hope that gives you an indication of my background and why in this show, when we're talking politics, I think you can trust my perspective as someone who has been an operative for a long time before becoming an attorney. And of course, staying involved in politics. And we're right here in Washington, D.C. on Capitol Hill. And I'm trying to bring you the best guests possible so you can hear the questions and answers from a Christian standpoint, maybe from a younger person's standpoint as well, so that you're getting educated. And we have people like this on our regular broadcast, JSekulow Live broadcast, but we usually don't get to have a full discussion because we're talking about an issue, an action item, breaking news. Here we're going to get a little bit more discussion and maybe a more personal insight into candidates and elected officials. So I think this is an excellent opportunity to be educated about issues and individuals as you have to start making decisions about the upcoming elections, on policy issues, on budget issues, on financial issues, basically anything here in Washington, D.C., and of course, our international work as well. And I want to use this as a way that if you don't know much more about the ACLJ than what you've heard on JSekulow Live, that you now hear about all of the different work we do here in the United States and around the world. So we're going to start featuring more ACLJ attorneys and international attorneys from our organizations around the world to talk to you directly. Maybe it's not a breaking news situation, but what is their work like in Pakistan? What is it like every day to operate a Christian legal organization while there's suicide bombers going off? What is it like to take that stand and be bold? We're going to be featuring those people on the broadcast, as well as mixing a lot of course Washington, D.C. in. So coming up next on the Jordan Sekulow Show, Governor Mitt Romney is joining us. If you want more information about the show, jordansekulow.com. And if you've got questions, tweet me, twitter.com/JordanSekulow. It's the best way to get your questions and comments on the air.
With The role of social media is now more important than ever in our national discourse. With fast-breaking developments and an ever-changing political landscape in Washington, D.C., now there's a way to stay on top of the political, legal, and cultural issues that matter most to you. Jordan Sekulow brings the immediacy of Twitter to talk radio. As Director of Policy and International Operations for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jordan Sekulow is one of the most followed conservatives on Twitter. He tackles the tough topics with insightful analysis and interviews with top decision makers and conservative leaders at home and abroad. Jordan is taking your questions live via Twitter. Tweet at Jordan Sekulow. The Jordan Sekulow Show, Monday through Friday at 12:30 p.m. Eastern on Sirius and XM Radio and live on ACLJ.org. For more information, go to jordansekulow.com. With fast-breaking developments and an ever-changing political landscape in Washington, D.C., now there's a way to stay on top of the political, legal, and cultural issues that matter most to you. On Monday, April 18th, join Jordan Sekulow as he begins The Jordan Sekulow Show, taking the immediacy of Twitter to talk radio. The role of social media is now more important than ever in our national discourse, and now you can participate via Twitter. Jordan will be taking your questions. As Director of Policy and International Operations for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jordan Sekulow is one of the most followed conservatives on Twitter. He'll tackle the tough topics with insightful analysis and interviews with top decision makers and conservative leaders at home and abroad. Join Jordan Sekulow beginning Monday for The Jordan Sekulow Show, live at 12:30 p.m. Eastern on Sirius and XM Radio, and live on ACLJ.org. That's 12:30 p.m. Eastern beginning Monday.
To the Jordan Sekulow Show, day one of the show. We're about to be joined by Governor Mitt Romney. Now, why is that important? Well, Governor Romney is leading the presidential primary polls in the Republican Party. You know some about his background. He, of course, ran for president in 2008. But I thought because this is the first day and he's leading the primaries right now, it made sense to feature Governor Romney first on the Jordan Sekulow Show. And in this interview, folks, I plan on going through everything from economic issues, the business issues, job growth, job creation in our country, our national debt, and also, of course, issues I know you're concerned about, whether it comes to national security, Israel, America's defense. Does President Obama get it? And don't worry, we'll be talking about healthcare, Obamacare. President Obama keeps saying that Governor Romney was responsible for providing entire model for Obamacare. Is that true? And why is Team Obama so concerned about that? So right now, Governor Mitt Romney joins us as our first guest on the Jordan Sekulow Show. Governor Romney, thank you so much for agreeing to be the first guest on the inaugural week of the Jordan Sekulow Show.
Thank you so much, Jordan. Good to be with you.
So last week via Twitter, which I have to say is very cool, you announced that you're exploring a presidential run. And after going through the grueling process once before, and you've been through it once, did you feel that after you saw how President Obama is taking the country, the direction he's going, that you had to explore this option again?
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head, Jordan. We had thought that having lost fair and square, we'd never be running for office again. But after watching the president in action for a while, it became clear to us that we have to have a change of direction. Frankly, because I've spent my life in the private sector, we think it's important to have somebody with that kind of background taking the reins of the country and getting us back on track so that we can create jobs. And also having somebody who has credibility in the economy, that's going to be needed if you're going to beat Barack Obama.
You wrote recently that President Obama's gone from being wrong to actually deceptive and intellectually dishonest, and that some of his policies are even dangerous for the country. In your opinion, why are the policies, and we know the president is fairly liberal, though I'm not sure that translated to all of the voters the first time around when he was elected for president. Now that we've seen his policies in action, what changed from him being wrong to actually being dishonest?
Well, he inherited some challenges when he came into office. And unfortunately, he has failed in being able to successfully confront those challenges. He did not get the economy going as quickly as he could have or should have. He's been unsuccessful in dealing with the challenges that we face abroad. But at least you think he was trying. In this instance, when he looks at the long-term budget of the country, and recognizes that if we don't rein in the excessive borrowing in this country, there is a very significant risk that we could at some point throw the country into an extraordinary economic spiral, downward spiral. He knows that, and yet he gets up and speaks a couple days ago saying that there's really no problem to deal with. All he has to do is take out waste, fraud, and abuse, and streamline government, and everything will be just fine. It was a performance which was disingenuous, was deceptive in suggesting that all you have to do is raise taxes on a few wealthy people and cut out some inefficiency in government, and everything will be fine. That is simply wrong, and I believe he knows that's wrong. It was inaccurate, and it was a very unfortunate performance, in my view, and risks the world losing confidence in America's financial capacity, and ultimately putting us on a very severe downward slide.
Before entering the political world, you're, of course, an extremely successful job creator. Maybe President Obama's, you're one of those top business folks that President Obama seems to have so much disdain for. Is there a quick fix? Is there something a new president could do quickly to get America back on track just when it comes to job creation? Which, listen, even if you're a social conservative, you care about those issues, truth is you need a job to even be involved in and go to the next level in politics. So is there a quick fix?
Well, the quickest thing that one can do is create a degree of confidence on the part of job creators and investors, people who hire people, that the future is going to be stable, that the dollar is going to be worth something, that there's not going to be an anti-business attitude in Washington, that regulations will not be piled upon industry after industry and make it more difficult for us to compete globally, a conviction that America is a good place to do business. These kinds of changes occur almost immediately upon someone becoming elected who frankly believes that small business is a good thing, that understands that jobs grow in this country when businesses are successful and profitable, someone who believes that profit is a good thing as opposed to a bad thing. I don't think of business as being a necessary evil. I think of business as being a good thing, and that our economy is what propels our ability to protect ourselves. By having a strong economy, we can have a strong military. Our strong economy also allows us to be prosperous and to have good jobs for everybody in America who wants a good job. So just that change in attitude alone, that change in the confidence in the future, will help encourage investment and growth in jobs in this country.
You've been very open about your idea of American exceptionalism, and you talked about a quick fix then. A long-term strategy of believing in America, again, that's something that one of your themes throughout the country when you've been speaking. What is a long-term kind of something we have to change in our minds almost, that we need to reform our government completely, it seems, from the top down, to really not just make a quick fix, but also to change things out for our future generations?
Well, the real question that we're facing right now is whether we're going to go on the road that Europe has traveled, which is a federal government that takes a larger and larger share of the income of the American people, or whether we're going to draw a line in the sand and say, above this level, we will not go. In my view, we should say that the federal government should not take more than 20% of the income of all America's individuals and businesses, the 20% of the economy, 20% of the GDP. That line should not be crossed. And Democrats, as you know, and liberals would like to just keep spending more and more and more, take a larger and larger share, and also build greater and greater debts. And the question is, are we going to draw a line in the sand on spending, and are we going to say no to additional borrowing? In my view, the only way we can guarantee the future prosperity and security of our country is if we limit the size of the federal government. And that's an effort which I think is beginning to be fought in Washington. You're seeing the president duck the issue, and frankly, it's time, I think, to deal with it honestly and in a straightforward way.
Switching topics a little bit to national security, I think people are concerned that the president just doesn't get it. I mean, specifically when it comes to what the problems and threats facing our ally Israel, and of course what's happening within our enemy country of Iran. Are we ignoring a reality? Is the president ignoring a reality of the threat that America faces throughout the world?
Well, you know, the president has spoken about common interests that are shared by all nations, and he has reached out to Iran and to North Korea, suggesting that he would be happy to meet with them at any time and any place. I think his philosophy stems from a misfounded belief that everybody does see things the same way. In my view, there are people who are genuinely bad, who who seek to oppress other human beings, and therefore favor totalitarian states with themselves in the position of power. And we see the world very differently than that. We look at Iran and see the mullahs and the President Ahmadinejad, who rules that country, and see this nation as a nation which is not seeking to find common interests with us, but is instead seeking to become the regional superpower, to dominate their neighbors and to oppress people. And I don't know that the president sees things in the black and white manner, which I think is necessary if you're going to deal with the kind of threats that are posed by, for instance, radical violent jihadists. For that matter, he won't even call them that. He shrinks from the term war on terror or jihadism. The reality is we face some extraordinary threats in the world today, and we need to be active and vigilant in being successful against those that would harm us.
Final question. It feels like Team Obama is very threatened by you as a possibility at the top of the Republican ticket in 2012. Is that why he keeps telling everybody and the American people in these speeches and his aides go out there and say that you're the reason why we have Obamacare, that he's copying your model? And this is, of course, an issue that I know people are talking about when it comes to you. But is that, it seems to me that it's because they're very threatened by what a Mitt Romney ticket would mean to Obama's second term.
Well, there's no question they're doing everything they can to keep me from being the nominee. But I can say this. If I were lucky enough to be president, on day one, I would direct the Secretary of Health and Human Services to provide a waiver to all 50 states to get them out of Obamacare. And then I would go to work to make sure that we repeal Obamacare. It is bad law. It is unconstitutional. It will be massively expensive. We simply cannot afford it. What we did in our state was a state solution at a state level within the bounds of the Constitution. What he has done is simply wrong and must be repealed.
Governor Mitt Romney, thank you so much for being a part of the first Jordan Sekulow show.
Thanks, Jordan. Very, very best of luck to you on this inaugural broadcast.
All right, folks, when we come back from the next break, I'm going to be taking your questions, twitter.com/Jordan Sekulow, and your comments about what Governor Romney had to say. And I thank him for being on the broadcast. As you know, he announced for president just last week his exploratory committee. Tomorrow on the broadcast, we'll have other possible presidential candidates in 2012 throughout the week. Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann, Newt Gingrich, Herman Cain, and we'll be featuring others throughout the Jordan Sekulow show. So I encourage you, go to twitter.com/Jordan Sekulow, get involved in the discussion, jordansekulow.com. And if you want your friends and family to be able to listen to this live at 12:30 p.m. Eastern time each day, and you don't have XM or Sirius and you're not in Washington, D.C. area, remember, it's live streaming at aclj.org.
The role of social media is now more important than ever in our national discourse. With fast-breaking developments and an ever-changing political landscape in Washington, D.C., now there's a way to stay on top of the political, legal, and cultural issues that matter most to you. Jordan Sekulow brings the immediacy of Twitter to talk radio. As Director of Policy and International Operations for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jordan Sekulow is one of the most followed conservatives on Twitter. He tackles the tough topics with insightful analysis and interviews with top decision makers and conservative leaders at home and abroad. Jordan is taking your questions live via Twitter. Tweet at Jordan Sekulow. The Jordan Sekulow Show, Monday through Friday at 12:30 p.m. Eastern on Sirius and XM Radio and live on aclj.org. For more information, go to jordansekulow.com. With fast-breaking developments and an ever-changing political landscape in Washington, D.C., now there's a way to stay on top of the political, legal, and cultural issues that matter most to you. On Monday, April 18th, join Jordan Sekulow as he begins The Jordan Sekulow Show, taking the immediacy of Twitter to talk radio. The role of social media is now more important than ever in our national discourse, and now you can participate via Twitter. Jordan will be taking your questions. As Director of Policy and International Operations for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jordan Sekulow is one of the most followed conservatives on Twitter. He'll tackle the tough topics with insightful analysis and interviews with top decision makers and conservative leaders at home and abroad. Join Jordan Sekulow beginning Monday for The Jordan Sekulow Show, live at 12:30 p.m. Eastern on Sirius and XM Radio and live on aclj.org. That's 12:30 p.m. Eastern beginning Monday.
back to the Jordan Sekulow Show, and that's about part of what this show is about, taking power back, empowering conservatives, young people, young evangelicals across the country. And, of course, part of that is being very educated when you enter discussions. So in this 30-minute broadcast, of course, that's the focus about what's going on in our nation, what's happening in politics, what's happening on Capitol Hill and in Congress, and also, of course, our work overseas. You know, internationally with the offices that we have in places like Pakistan, Kenya, and Zimbabwe, in Israel, in Russia, in France, throughout Asia. Because of those offices, folks, when there's world events happening, you see if there's conflicts that occur or major political movements internationally, one of our offices is affected by it. And so we've got expert commentary that we have not been able to feature on our 30-minute Jay Sekulow live broadcast that we'll now be able to feature, bringing in our international staff. And because of our work in politics and on our broadcast, we're able to bring you people like Governor Mitt Romney, who joined us on the inaugural broadcast, who can walk through why, again, you know, for instance, he would decide after running once for president to do it again. It's a tough decision. It's not easy to run for president. And if you know how tough it is, and I've worked on those two presidential campaigns as a staffer, you know how much more difficult it happens to be for the candidate and their family. And the fact that that's why I asked him first, why do it again? Why is this the time to do it again? And to break down, part of what we're going to do when we have folks like Governor Romney on is really break down some of their commentary for you. And to do that, I'm going to be bringing in our Director of Government Affairs at the American Center for Law and Justice, Stan Bennett, who's also a young guy with a young family. And I think our commentary on this and from Stan's perspective on Capitol Hill is going to help kind of broaden out our discussions. And of course, if you want to be part of the discussions, it's all through Twitter, twitter.com/JordanSekulow. If you're listening to this right now and it's about 12:51 p.m. Eastern time on your clock, we're live in Washington, D.C. And so we're taking the questions and the comments real time. And I know that'll take some time to develop, but I hope you'll start using twitter.com/JordanSekulow and tweeting me questions there. Than Bennett's joining me right now in our studios in Washington, D.C. Than, welcome to the Jordan Sekulow Show. Let me let you, again, since you've been on Jay Sekulow Live a lot, but kind of introduce your background as well before coming to the American Center for Law and Justice and what you do at the ACLJ.
Yeah, sure. And let me just start by saying congratulations on the new show, Jordan. I mean, I think I'm one of the people that's looking forward to this interactive format where you engage with social media. I think it's perfect for what you do, and I look forward to what the show will be all about. My background is actually in public policy. My education is in business management, but I spent 6 years working for a member of Congress from Kansas in the House of Representatives. So worked on the Hill, worked as a legislative director. So it's public policy, it's issues of legislation that interest me. So as we get into kind of this minutia, as you want to get into on this show, that really intrigues me. Sometimes we haven't had time to do that on Jay Sekulow Live. It's very hard-hitting, very fast. We're going to try to do that. That's really what gets me excited, so I'm happy to be a part of your broadcast.
You know, let's focus on Governor Romney for a moment. He said that, talking about why has President Obama been now dishonest to the American people, and that's a strong word to use from someone like Governor Mitt Romney. Why has he been dishonest? And he's talking about the long-term budget and President Obama admitting that if we don't rein in the borrowing, there's a significant risk of throwing our country into a downward spiral. But then again, he says this danger that our politicians are playing lip service to, Than. The truth is there's only a handful of members of Congress and maybe the House of Representatives that is actually trying to reform the programs that are causing so much heartache and economic concern and the reason why our debt keeps going up.
Yeah, all we have to do is look at these last few weeks, Jordan, for proof of this. I mean, the president has come out and said we need to get our fiscal house in order. You know, we're $14 trillion in debt, more than $1.5 trillion in deficit every year. And yet just a few weeks ago, he had a chance to put forward a budget. And in that, he called for a spending freeze. He didn't call for any real cuts in spending. It was only after Paul Ryan put out his budget that he actually came to the table and was willing to discuss it. And by the way, the budget that they just agreed to, that the president finally came to the table on, he was actually pushing to drive those very small spending cuts down. So I think that's what the governor means when he says he's being dishonest. The president says one thing, but his actions just don't back up what he's saying.
He said, I don't think of business as being a necessary evil. I think it is a good thing. And now, folks, we've seen how businesses and big corporations of America have been demonized What we don't sometimes pick up on the fact is that President Obama and some of these policies are not only targeted towards the major Fortune 500s, who, by the way, line up his campaign coffers and give massive political contributions to both Republicans and Democrats, including President Obama himself, but also the small business tax hikes. And it is the idea that business is evil. It is kind of this ideological divide in Washington between left and right. Are you pro-business? Or do you want more restrictions on business and more regulatory reform when it comes to business? But really, it's pro-business versus anti-business and growth.
Right, and businesses mean jobs. We can't forget that. And that's why Governor Romney, that's really an angle that he has as we head into 2012. He has done this before. He's a successful businessman. He knows what it means to create jobs. So when the president talks about, you know, business maybe only being a necessary evil, Governor Romney is going to be able to come to the table, and he goes, he's going to be able to show you that, no, businesses means jobs. And this, if this unemployment number stays as high as it is currently, Jordan, that's going to be a real opportunity for the governor. I think that that would be one of the reasons that the current president would not want to face him in a general election.
You know, switching to the international focus as well, with, of course, Iran and North Korea and Israel. And I asked Governor Romney about that directly, and I know folks are very concerned about what's happening in the Middle East. You do a lot of our work at the United Nations. I think that's important to point out for our new audience today. It has become an extremely anti-Israel organization, this international, or at least full of people who are anti-Israel.
The biggest group at the United Nations, Jordan, is the Organization for the Islamic Conference. They are an entity that, by and large, is made up of member states who believe that Israel should be wiped off the map. They go down to the floor of the General Assembly. They refuse to even use the word Israel. They call them either the Zionist regime or the occupied territory. Their entire mission is to remove Israel from the map, and yet this administration has engaged in a policy of engagement with them, not opposing the OIC, but instead trying to engage them through diplomatic measures. It's a very dangerous, fundamental position to be in, but yet it's the one they've embarked on.
You know, and the final thing about Governor Romney's interview, and I think this is important to do because, of course, politicians and people like Governor Romney, great interviews, lots of information, and if you don't break it down, it can kind of just, you know, go one, in one ear and out the other. He talked, of course, and we can't ignore the fact, Than, that we're talking about Obamacare. That's going to be a huge issue again. President Obama says that Romney Care in Massachusetts is the model for Obamacare nationally. We know conservatives have been beating up Governor Romney. Do you think people are going to be able to make a distinction between a state program and the federal program?
This is going to be the big question, Jordan, because you and I know there's a big difference between a federal mandate and a state mandate constitutionally. But after you get past the constitutional question, it becomes a policy question. Will the folks who so aggressively opposed Obamacare, will they see a difference between that and a state mandate? And I can tell you this, the other Republican nominees, they're going to focus on this. They're going to bring this up at every debate. The governor is going to have plenty of time, plenty of opportunities to explain his position. I thought he did a good job with you just a minute ago, but that is going to be the question. Can he convince voters that there's enough of a difference, or is that going to be his downfall?
I think he has the ability to, but it's going to be a tough Republican primary, and he's, of course, one of the first of many potential candidates who will be interviewed on the Jordan Sekulow Show. Closing out today, just got a question in coming in from Twitter. I said, you need to be educated. What book would you recommend reading that it impacted you? Well, one book by Waleed Ferez, The Coming Revolution, which directly impacts what's happening in the Middle East. You want to understand the different kinds of Islam, the different kinds of Islamic political movements happening. That is a great book and very timely on what's happening now. And it takes a book sometimes to get that educated on the topic. Second, you need, I always encourage people, know your founding documents. Know what your Constitution says, the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights. Know all of those documents. We, of course, provide those to you at ACLJ.org. So one book on the Middle East, which is a passion of mine, and then, of course, the founding documents as well. It's a great way to start off the Jordan Sekulow Show. Thanks for joining us today.
If you've previously listened to the full hour of Jay's broadcast, now beginning at 12:30 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday, you can listen to the new Jordan Sekulow Show. Jordan Sekulow provides insightful analysis and interviews with top newsmakers, live from Washington, D.C. The Jordan Sekulow Show, Monday through Friday at 12:30 Eastern. Find out how you can listen to the show online at www.jordansekulow.com. And if you're interested in carrying this new program on your station or network, contact the Jordan Sekulow Show via email, info@sekulow.com.